Well, welcome to the Raise Up Podcast. I'm Athena.
I'm Charlie.
And we have Paul Yitty with us today, and this is episode 16. And I'm really excited about this episode because Paul has amazing insight into managing all of these different diverse groups. And I think that you're going to really enjoy this one. So, Paul, why don't you tell us, like, how this whole thing got started for you?
Paul's the man.
All right. Thank you. Hi, my name is Paul. I think it was in 2015. I had just left Nashville, and I came up here because I was with a managing company for shows that we were traveling, because of course I'm a singer, or was.
Amazing singer.
You still sing.
Still
you
is.
Still sing.
Yeah, but when I came here, and the decision was to be with my family and to hang out with them and spend more time with them, because I've been away for so long during the military and all that. And when I did do that decision, I got here and I'm like, man, what do I want to do for work? I need something to do. So my aunt, if you guys remember Lucia, she was one of the managers here. And I was like, hey, are you guys hiring? And she said, yeah, we're actually looking for dispatchers. And in my head, I'm like, man, I have zero experience for, you know, that. But I was like, I can. And she was saying, oh, we can train you. There's someone that will. And this was actually, BAC is actually my first real job away from when I left high school in Samoa, because I joined the military right after high school.
And how long were you in the military for?
I was in the military for 3 years.
Okay.
With one deployment, and then out in the real world, so back to asking my aunt, and so she turned in the application, and I was brought on. And you know, who would have ever thought that the office environment was going to be my, you know, path in life? So I was nervous, but then it turned out that I don't know if it was true or not, but they told me that I was one of the quickest to pick up the whole dispatching thing.
Oh, you're one of our best hires, Paul.
and so, like I said, whether it's true or not, I believed it and I ran with it and decided to make it the best I can.
We told everybody that in the third week, Paul. Thank you for taking that on.
Yeah, so I was thrown, you know, I was then thrown my own shift after like the first couple of weeks with that being told to me.
Yeah. And this was back in, you said, what year?
2015.
Yes. Okay.
So it's...
9 years.
9 years ago, mm-hmm. Which the BAC organization was a very different organization back then. So dispatch wasn't as diverse as it is today.
Oh, yeah. Those were the fun times, the times of the handheld radios. When I think back on all that, there's many different... things that I could think of. And first would be, I'm thankful for the people that I've met since then. And I'm thankful that my aunt worked here, because she was pretty much like my gateway here. And I wasn't sure what I was going to do outside of music after I was pretty much done with it. And I'm glad I did, which is why I'm grateful. And I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't redo anything. This job has taught me so much. Everything from, you wouldn't have heard me, or if you were to talk to me back then, this is not the English that I had back then, because of course, customer service and learning to talk to different people. And I feel like my English has gotten so much better, and you would never think that I speak another language better than English. So...
you know, fast forwarding, I mean, because I remember when you came on, mm-hmm. and of course we have this vision of like raising people up into these other places, but you've taken on a special role here in particular. And really it's this like, you have figured out how to lead generations that are 40 years older than you. Mm-hmm. And generations that are like 15 years younger than you. And what I mean by that is that we've got the airport team that we hire on at 16, and you have really figured out how to gain the respect and to get these Generation Z to follow you in these remarkable ways. But yet you have the respect of like the baby boomers that work here. Mm-hmm. When you say something or you tell them and you're answering their question, they're like, okay, you know. And that's what I find particularly fascinating. And you mentioned like the way that you communicate with English. It's like you've developed this communication between these individual groups that is just fascinating to me. And so could you tell us a little bit more about that?
For example, let's just start with me personally as mm-hmm. a person. Personally, if you were to hang out with me, if you were to see me, or if you're friends with me on Facebook or the social medias, I'm just a naturally bubbly, you know,
high energy.
Jokester, high energy. Yeah. Like I look for every reason to find the goodness in anything. If someone comes to me sad, or if I go to a place that has this very dull energy, I'm gonna be the center of attention. And it's not because I want to for myself, it's because I know what I can bring and I know how to adapt to what I the environment that I have put myself in. And I think being the age that I am is a perfect like centerpiece for the older folks that work here, and then the younger people, because I'm freshly 30, in my 30s, and I feel like I am slowly moving away from my young self, and now I'm introduced to the, you know, the older generation, which I was around. And being Polynesian, there's a huge teaching of respecting your elders. So I know what I have to do to respect someone in order to get respect back. But in my mental is that this is how I would want someone to treat me when I'm older.
Yeah.
So that's how I look at it. Like, for example, we have the Polish gentleman that I've worked with since the beginning of time here. When I first got here, here comes ZB, you know, and my first initial reaction was, you know, I was, 22, 20. My first initial reaction as a young person is, you know, don't talk to me like that. Or what is his problem? But then I thought to myself, let me just give it the benefit of the doubt and mm-hmm. just get to know this person first. And just ask around. And then Jessica at the time, you know, they were telling me, oh, that's just him. That's just how he is.
It's just ZB.
You'll really know when he's mad. And I was like, how do you know that? He's quiet. And so I have a mental book of writing down each personality that I come across, not just here at work, so that I know how to change up my personality to match this person. It's like meeting them halfway, kind of a thing. So it's establishing my end goal in treating people is to make sure that they are comfortable with me. So if I meet someone that is constantly wanting things to be right, wanting things to be, you know, smooth all the time, mm-hmm. For example, him, I would get everything ready that I know he's going to nitpick about, so that when he comes in, there's nothing for you to complain about.
Or there's nothing for you to ask, because yes. I already anticipated your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I dug a jokester out of him, and I figured out that part of him, and I would talk about certain things that he's interested in, which is barely anything, but I found them.
You know, that's really fascinating, because what you're talking about is like typical mirroring techniques and listening and seeking understanding without judging. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's fascinating how sometimes we jump to conclusions about things and we just assume that because this person is talking direct at me, mm-hmm. that they're being offensive, when really that's where they come from. Mm-hmm. That's their culture from the country that they lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just, I don't think that there's a lot of talk around these days about how, yeah, it's true, we all have different backgrounds, but really, culturally, that's playing in. We have people from all over the world working for us,
yeah.
All these different cultures.
Yeah, I think that's what made it easier for me, is because I'm, you know, I'm from a culture as well too. So, but at the same time, I've lived in Samoa, and also I've spent half of my life here. And so it's like there's this understanding of the way of life here and an understanding of the way of life that's not from here. So knowing when to apply that, and what situations to apply your culture to, that's when I would step away from, if it's a professional thing, like if it's work related, I'm going to give it to you the way that work is supposed to be given. And if it's anything, if someone comes to me with a problem that I can relate to, you know, then I just step away from the whole supervisor or the management position, and I step into, it's me. You can talk to me.
It's almost like a coach position. Yes.
It's me, like, you know, what's up, man? You know, are you doing okay? Instead of just ignoring someone when there's obvious, you know, issues or something that they could be going through, or just they just need a, like, one of my what do you call those love languages. Words of affirmation. You know, if someone comes up to me and says, you know what, you have the best hair that I've ever seen, that I'm gonna have the best day in the world, even if it's not true, but you told me that's what, right, you think. And another example is,
Paul, you have the best hair in the world.
You know what? I'm not going to sleep tonight.
Amen. You're there.
And another, like Barb, for example, after knowing her for so many years, if there's one thing that you could compliment her on, it, you know, to make her smile, even if she's having a bad day, is, Barb, I love your hair today. You know, it's poofier than yesterday. And then instantly it's like there's a brightness in her eyes. Then she'll go to tell you about, yeah, well, I spent, you know, an hour or 2 hours on it this morning. And as soon as they do that, I've hit the jackpot. That's it. So, and I'm just going on and on, but.
You know, Paul, one of the things I really see with you, especially with our dynamic crew that we have, mm-hmm, the ambassadors at the airport, is that you're able to connect with the 16-year-olds. And I think, mm-hmm, so many people connect to you because you've been on so many YouTube videos. You've been on so many, yeah, different ones in there with your singing.
And you'll do the TikTok video with them.
And you will do videos with them to inspire them and get them, yeah, going. And they really appreciate that about you. They, yeah, really look up to you. And we have a fairly decent size of Polynesians that work for us too.
Yeah.
And you know, they all have the most huge respect for you. Huge. I mean, and you have a respect for them, and it really works out well, because it's so funny is when we get around a whole bunch of Polynesians, they all start talking English. I'm like, English, you know, because I can't understand what they're saying. They laugh, yeah, like, oh, it's okay, boss. You know, it's very, very well. You're very well respected with those. And especially the kids, they always love working with you. And I say kids, we're teaching these kids to become new adults. And
yeah,
you're inspiring them to, mm-hmm, do that, because they see you and they see where you've moved up now and into a management position. I mean, you start off as a dispatcher and then went to a supervisor, and we've asked you for years to try to get the management team. And then finally you came to us and said, hey, I'm ready. And I'm glad that you're taking that next step, but it's going to be huge for these other team members that we have, and yeah, everybody else here. And you know, it's just, you have that quality about you, and you're always chipper. I mean, to see you down is very, I think in the 9 years, it may be, it'd be a half a dozen times I've ever seen you where you weren't just on cloud nine. So you always bring that high energy to our team, yeah, and they need that. And we, yeah, really do. We need that energy, because remember that we're the first people they see in what's going on, and we're going to probably set the tone for them.
Yeah.
So we really want to set a good tone for them. So tell me how you do that with the teenagers too. I mean, how's that? I say teenagers. We don't have just teenagers at the airport too.
No.
We have everybody from every spectrum all the way up until the 60s up, mm-hmm, there working there too. So you have a very diverse company there, a little bit more than here at BAC, because,
yeah, cause the younger people.
Because, mm-hmm, we don't let them drive here. So we only get some of the younger people working as DGMs,
yeah,
works as just grounds maintenance and stuff like that. So tell me how that is.
The airport is my, is grounds for me to apply everything that I have here, and I get to mix my personal personality with it. Because like you said, it's not just the teenagers that work there or freshly out of high school. We have, I think the oldest person there is in their 60s, and I think Frank might be in his 70s now.
And they've been with us for a long time. Yes. And they're such loyal, great employees. Mm-hmm.
And so when I go there and I just observe their environment, and now I'm looking at it as there's these kids that work with these adults that are, you know, they qualify to be their grandparents.
Sure.
And
even some of great grandparents.
Yes. So for the kids portion of it, I want them to, because I freshly remember what it's like, you know, being on my own for the first time and getting a job for the first time. I want them to feel comfortable to where they see me. If they see someone that's in the leadership team come there and it's just, hey, you're not supposed to be doing that or this and that. My greeting is, hey, what's up, man? Didn't you go to school with my little brother? And then they're like, oh my God, you're that guy. And I go, yeah, I'm that guy, man. Yeah, I'm the guy. You know, it's just talking, starting conversations. And I know there's this whole thing about kids nowadays. That's like a thing now that's being thrown at the generation is, oh, these kids. I'm like, well, we were once kids too. And I remember growing up, my elders and my uncles and aunts were saying stuff about, dang, you kids. And I'm like, well, I mean, I'm still freshly away, you know, grown up now. So I want them to be comfortable enough to where that, to know that this is a place, because of course, a lot of them, this is their first job. Like, yeah. I said, I want them to know that this is a place you train yourself to get to know what it's like to get along with your coworkers, the people that you work with, discover who you are as an adult. And then when I put into the equation the older folks that work there, it doesn't matter where you are, even if it's work, as long as everyone understands that you're here to do a job and to make a living for yourself and to provide and start providing for yourselves and for those who have been in the workforce for a long time to continue to provide for your family. As long as they understand that that's what it is, and it's a job, and it's a business, it's a professional world, there still should be some sense of, this is also a place that I could feel like I'm comfortable with, and I can call my family away from home, you know. And so I want them to, I started to talk to them, and I also talked to the older guys, hey, what do you think? I want to hear what they think about working with a younger generation. And I want to hear about the younger generation's input about working with the older folks. So if the older folks would say, oh, well, I don't like this because they're always on their phones and they're on the computer. But then I use that against them also, because when I would offer them a position saying, hey, what do you think of being a dispatcher? I would get hit with I wouldn't know how to use a computer. And so then I would give credit to the younger generation and have the older folks understand, hey, this position was better suited for this individual because they are familiar with the technology, and what we're looking for is that. But also what we need to go along with knowing how to use a computer is someone who has a good head on their shoulders.
Yeah.
That's able to respect you. So if you give me your, you know, we'll give them a 30-day trial in this position. And just the opinions of people, doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, how old you are, your opinions, as long as you feel like your opinions are being heard and used, not just, I'll talk to you every day about the same thing. And it could be opinions of what's going on in real time at work or like a long-term goal. Do you think I could get to learn how to use a computer, or do you think you could get my uniforms that I ordered 2 weeks ago? And it's just establishing a trust between them. So when I talk with the kids, I'm using the terms that they use nowadays, like, you know, oh, your McDonald's that you're eating, that looks kind of bussing, huh? You know, or that's fire. But then when I talk to like the older folks, you know, they would talk about, I'd play music on purpose. In the environment, I'd play older music that I knew I grew up listening to with my grandparents and my dad and my mom. And then I'd hear something like, what do you know about that song? And
exactly.
It's either I know a little bit, but I know enough for us to start a conversation about it. So just, it's just finding,
it's almost like common ground.
Yes, common ground.
And you know. So then you build rapport from there.
Yes.
But I think the key message here is that this takes time and you have to be curious. You can't come from a place of, oh, you're not going to do it anyway, or just shut down and close down with this idea that they don't want to work or they don't want to listen or whatever. It's really, and it's a different language speaking with each generation. And we were talking earlier about how we don't use the term bussin', but when we were teenagers, it was like rad or, we still say awesome and dude, but it's no different. It's just a different generation of slang, basically.
You know, it's funny looking at some of our well, not say the older generation, but look at our generation of baby boomers and stuff like that. I mean, when I come up to sometimes when they're doing orientations, I'll see people actually with flip phones still, and they're talking about trying to add it up, and I was like, well, that's not going to work, you know. But it's just so interesting because that's their comfortability, and it's interesting how our team has to work with the different comfortabilities as just as we do in there, because how you get into our buildings with an app usually, or you have to put a code in, you have to do that stuff. So it's really trying to bring them up to speed. And then that's trying to go down to where they're at too, to be able to help them out, because they don't want to switch from that Razor phone. They don't want to switch from that flip phone. Yeah. I mean,
it's comfortable.
And they don't care about all the other stuff. They don't care about the internet as much as we do. They don't care about social media. So we have all these huge spectrums going back and forth. And
yes, all and the time.
We're playing tennis.
It's a puzzle piece where
Jenga.
The longer you've done it, or the longer that I've gotten to know the employees that I've been here for a while, I know each one of them has a puzzle piece that I have ready to put in every time I see them. But I also like to warn people that are coming in so that they are comfortable and they know what to expect. For example, back to our Polish friend, right?
Zibi.
Since I know him, no one's going to know him the way I know him.
Sure.
But the best I could do is just give the new party a heads up and give him also, you know, a heads up as well, too, as far as if you know me and you care about me, you know, be nice, okay? But the heads up I've been giving for years, every time a new driver comes in and is about to train, hey, by the way, we have a driver. Just a heads up. That's just how he is. Okay.
And let me clear the record. Let me clear the record a little bit. ZB is one of our top drivers. Yes. He's been with us for a long time. But ZB, as we talked about his accent and everything else that comes across, sometimes it comes back
abrupt
and harsh, and it's just ZB. And he smiles sometimes into it. You don't know if he's mad or upset, but.
Well, that's what I tell them is, if it really came down to where there was a situation that happened and it was brought to me, and then we end up having a conversation, like if someone comes to me with a complaint, I'll listen to the details of exactly what happened. Most of the time, I find that the person that was upset at the veteran person is, you're telling me, but in your statement, you told me exactly what you didn't do. So I then would step into like an older generation mindset. Like, well, I understand they were frustrated and they probably yelled at you. But if you really think about, if you really slow it down, take away the tone of voice and everything, tell me this, is he wrong or is he right?
Sure.
And then instantly it's like, yeah, they were right, but they could have, you know, been nice
whispered
about
it to me instead of used your regular accent.
Sent me chocolates. Yeah. At the same time, they told me I was doing bad.
And I think that's what I run with all the time is, like I said, when we get to learn everyone's different personalities, that could be the topic of discussion after I get them to realize that the priority was for the job to be done.
Right.
You know, because if you're coming to me with a complaint saying that this person was that and that, well, there's a possibility that this person could have been much nicer had you done and helped them out, you know, to become a unit, to work together to get something done. Because, you know, out of the two of you, it sounds like you were the one that didn't step up to make the situation better. So, yes, we can have a conversation about him yelling at you or someone raising their voice after, but let's go ahead and take care of why you missed your pickup and why you dropped this and that.
You know, sometimes it's not that they're yelling. It's mm-hmm. that the intense energy yes. that they bring to the conversation, mm-hmm. it feels like there's some kind of I've heard people say, "You're yelling at me,"
yeah.
and they're not at me, but I've heard them say, "Oh, they were yelling and I was yeah. right there," and I'm like, they weren't yelling, but I could feel the energy yes. intensity.
Well,
and
some of them are more sensitive than others.
Yes,
of course.
So. And I think that that's probably a consideration, is that yes. you have to know your audience, and if that individual is a member of the team, but they tend to lean on that sensitive area, mm-hmm. that's just waiting to be developed.
Yeah.
Well, put this in perspective too. We have over 240 employees.
Yes.
So when you're talking about intensity with different employees and their levels they're at, we're all over the spectrum. Yeah. I mean, from every yeah. walk of earth to everything, to every language, to every, you know, possibility we have here, you have 240 different personalities that we have to deal with on a day-in basis. And some are easier and some are harder and yeah. some are so totally off the radar. Like, there's employees that we've had for a long time that I was like, they still work here, you know, because they work 1 or 2 days a week
yeah.
and it's on the weekends or something, like when we're not here. So it's a huge responsibility that you guys take yeah. on.
And my thing is, after being here for so long, and I like to share with them the experiences that I've had, because once upon a time I was a new employee too. And there's one, I mean, you've gotten to know my family a lot, and we have situations and like deaths in the family.
Yeah.
And there's one thing that I told, because the question is always now with how long I've been here, is, "Wow, you're still over there?" And then I'm like, "Yeah, what's wrong with that? You know, you don't leave some place if you enjoy a place."
Sure.
You know, and I think the reason why I'm so just stern on really trying to get everyone, especially the airport, to really take into consideration the benefits of, it's not just company benefits, it's the benefits of who you get to learn from while you're there
yeah.
and what someone has done for you. A long time ago, there was one thing about the company that I did appreciate was, you know, you go into a place, and I'm a religious person, and when you come into a company that has forms, and then one of the forms are a prayer request, you know, I feel like a lot of places nowadays don't have that, you know, platform to be able to go to while you're at work to submit something. And the biggest thing that really sold me for continuing to, you know, commit to this company is, and this is not at all to flatter anyone, it's because I do appreciate it, is that there was a day that I put in a prayer request, and it had to do with, it was either my grandmother, or I put in a prayer request, and I don't know if you remember, Athena, we were at the old office, and you came in, and in the middle of me just dispatching the craziness, she goes, you asked if you could pray for me, and we took like a 2 minute, I stepped away, she stood right over me and put her hand on my shoulder, and she prayed for me. And that's one of my other characteristics or my personalities, is that I'm a very emotional person, and when someone does something that lasts a lifetime for you, you can only do so, you know, you can only do what you can to contribute to someone's kindness. So that's my takeaway from it, is that when I worked for this company, it was my learning grounds for many things, and the people that I've met that have come and gone, they've played a role in making me think the way that I do today, and knowing how to separate, you know, each ways of thinking, if that makes sense.
It does.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, and you look at that, Paul, is how many people back in the day have worked for us, mm-hmm. and they have gotten another job offer and they've left us, and then they've come back.
Yeah.
And I remember when you did, you went over to NAC for a quick bit.
I didn't leave all the way.
You were still employed. You were. Yeah. And then we really missed you and said, how can we get Paul back here full time? And I think Jeff is the one that came over there and kind of coerced you to come back and said, hey, we really need you here. We did. And
well, it was more like we wanted you to just have a singular focus. Yes. But
well, it's funny that you say that, because what we were talking about early was when I left, my mindset was, I've been here for a while. Let me try something new to, but for some reason, someone told me, because I was still covering 2 days until they could get the shift covered. But, you know, like I said, you know, I'm a spiritual person. I feel like God told me to not leave all the way, because there's something that's going to happen that's better. But I had nothing to do with the airport department. And for some reason, Jeff knows this, he saw me on the cameras with everyone rallied in the room at the airport. And I went over there and I talked to everyone. And I just, because there was no, they didn't have any form of leadership there. And I feel like everyone was, it was during the time of no manager or a supervisor there during the shifts. And so I,
we always had floaty managers.
Yes.
But
here comes the dispatcher rallying everyone up. Let's just talk. And I guess I didn't know Jeff was watching the whole thing. And the conversations that I had that day was, you know, were how's everyone doing? What could I take over to the main office? Some concerns that you guys have about here. And then, and so I went into telling them, I kind of went down, to an ambassador, but I put myself in
their shoes
as if I was an ambassador. And I picked out each individual thing that is a benefit of working for that department. And I told them, you guys, you know what? I wish I was an ambassador. You know, you have this office that's made just for you guys, away from, you know, the evilness of the airport sometimes. You know, you have this safe haven here.
The bright sunlight through the big windows and all that exercise.
Yeah.
And
so I try to butter them up, you know, with things that I would appreciate if I was an ambassador. Like, where else do I get paid? You know, you have this office to come, and they have a McDonald's next to their office. And I was saying stuff like, man, I wish I was an ambassador. I just sit in here, play with my phone, wait for my next call to come up. And, you know, you guys have it good here. Where else do you get paid? Just to hang out sometimes. And then they're like, you know what? You're right. And then instantly jumps back into, but that doesn't mean you guys are not going out to do your daily duties, right? And then it's like, there's this conversation that has begun between myself and the kids, like, oh yeah, you, of course we're doing it. And so when they see that I'm talking to them, and we all just connect, like, yo, oh yeah, dude, you know, you're all right, you know, you're not all that or whatever, then they asked who I was, and they said, oh, he's the one of the lead dispatchers over there at the main office. And then Jeff, I came back to the office, and Jeff was like, yeah, I saw that. What did you do over there? Did you brainwash everyone? Everyone was just in the room that day. And then that's how the idea sparked, was he called me and he goes, hey, so if we offered you the position of ANC supervisor, would you come back full time? And I go, I don't know. So when I was at NAC, Gideon he found out that I was on America's Got Talent, and he wanted to feature me on, they have like a storyboard or something down at their main hub in Seattle, and they wanted to feature the NAC employee of the week or something and do a story. Set up everything, and there was a date for us to do the interview. And before that date, I decided to come back to BAC because, you know, it's where I was meant to be. And honestly, I just like I said, it's not, you know, because we're having a podcast, or it's not because you guys are sitting in front of me. If I truly didn't like a place, I would have left a long time ago.
But, you know, the point you made about explaining perspectives, especially to groups that maybe they're not seeing the positive piece, it's, I mean, I tell my own children, I'm like, if you want to go work somewhere else, find the company that has the best training program. Find the company that has exceptional leadership within it and learn from that as much as you can while you're in that season of your life. And that's really, I think what you're sharing with them is it's not just about getting a paycheck. It's also about who are you surrounding yourself with over and over and over again.
I think that's kind of the reason I was telling you is, wasn't bringing it to just your situation, but how many employees have left us for greener pastures, what they thought, and they've all come, or a lot of them have come back and said, hey, I really missed my job here, and this really wasn't what I thought it was going to be, and it was there. And then we've really had a lot of good long-term employees that have been with the company through all of our changes. And you go back all the way, you go back all the way to 54th with us at our office in 54th. And I know ZB says he called those the good old days because we'd have like little small barbecues and things like that. Less people. And it was, you know, it was a lot less to manage. You know, we were a much more smaller, closer group. But as we grew and then we went over to 100th and that really expanded us. I mean, remember all that new space we got and we filled it instantly. You know, we were like almost full. And everybody loved having their own offices and all this new room. And now we're in our new building of Hartzell. And we own this building and we're not leased anymore. And we did a lot of upgrades and everything. So it's just, it's really neat to see how the employees just really have benefited in changing up and us upgrading things
too. It's really seeing people thrive. That's, I mean, I think that's really and the raise up message is how can we give them what they need to thrive and then also give them what they want to? Because sometimes you don't know what you want. You just know what you don't want.
Yeah, and I think that's the missing piece of it too is the ones that have been here for a long time is... Is that our timer?
I didn't know it would make a noise like that. We'll have another section where we're cutting things out.
That was a timer, ladies and gentlemen.
That was a timer.
Yeah.
I'm going to mute the timer for the next session. So that's my first time using that timer. So the employees really like figuring that piece out of helping them, because I'm sure that there's individuals that you know this other person and you probably know where their mindset was and you're trying to lead this other person to this like understanding and perspective around that individual. And so you're doing this balancing act of what do I need to like get them to, but also how can I help them like maybe unpack a little bit of this like sensitivity that they have.
Yeah.
So they need to know that they've been heard, but on the other hand, they also need to understand that we've got a job to do here.
Yeah, and that's what I mentioned earlier is, you know, in the midst of this whole me getting on a level with you, you have to understand that my mission also is for you to understand that if I have to bring a decision up to the management team about you, regardless of, you know, me and you being, you know, being cool, or we have a relationship that we have because of how long I've known you and all that. When it comes down to the job and a performance wise, as long as you know that I'm someone you can talk to, and I'm also someone that could possibly turn in your paper, your final paperwork, you know, that's where I want it to stop.
Sure.
That accountability piece Paul, is important because it's almost what allows for balance to happen so that actual productivity can happen instead of just activity.
Yeah. And I think that's my whole approach to the whole thing as far as trying to just figure each individual out is, I mean, personally for me in, you know, growing up here and then also in the islands, most of the things we know are stereotypes or stuff that we'd see on TV. And in my mind is, you know, the stereotype of the big boss is someone that's going to always just, you can, you're scared to talk to this person. You're, this person is going to be mean. They're expected to be mean to you because, but.
Or at the very least short.
Yes. And.
It's like when, you're debunking that.
Yes. Well, I feel like there's a good cop, bad cop situation going on to where we still need a handful of the leadership team that does that. And here comes me, the one, you know, the least expected one that you think you could come to me because, well, I'm not saying it like I'm tricking someone, but there's this expectation that I want from them, not that I need it from them, but I want them to be able to have someone at their job that they could go to with anything, and that way I could, you know, I'm the go-to. Yes, I'm the go-to to be able to bring it to the leadership, because if there's this stereotype in their head about, you know, the leadership team, this person's a manager, that person could possibly fire me and all that, there's at least one or two, three people that are able to communicate them, because at the end of the day, you know, not being comfortable at a workplace is going to lead to them not showing up anymore.
Correct.
And I had an example of that at the airport not too long ago, where the older guys that were hired on felt like the dispatcher was being unfair. But it was just a misunderstanding, because they didn't understand exactly what the order of operation was, which was, you know, that's how I found out also that there could be some retrainings or refreshers that needed to be done. So the takeaways from each situation was that that's what happened, is you don't understand. The dispatcher could use a reminder just to, you know, make sure that we're treating everyone fair so that they love their jobs and that it's fair. Or they don't have to love it, but they want to be comfortable to know that this is a place they are going to provide a living for themselves, yeah, and their families. And then at the end of it, I wanted to, you know, again, like we're talking about, make sure that, and I'd put together a little bit of a script in my head. And after we sorted out the whole thing, you know, I just want you to know that, you know, it's not because he started to feel bad because here comes the stereotype of, oh no, I got someone in trouble. They're going to get fired. I don't want to be a snitch. And I was like, no, see, that's the problem. The problem is, that's what we're trying to get away from, is you being comfortable enough to talk to me and knowing that there's an understanding that you bringing this issue to me is because someone is not performing well. But the problem is that you're letting your feelings of feeling sorry, or, you know, of feeling sorry for someone, get in the way of you doing the right thing. So that was that portion of that, to where I needed to make it clear that, you know, there's no point of you coming to bring me an issue if you're not going to tell me the, you know, 100% what it is that you're wanting to bring forth. But also at the end of the day, there was this aura and this energy that I was getting that he wasn't uncomfortable and that he no longer wants to come here if the people put in certain position aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing, then they feel like they're being treated unfairly. So my position and my aim was, you know, I said, you know, I want you to know that you can always tell me if there's something wrong that you don't like so that we can fix it. The big puzzle piece was that I'm Polynesian and the person involved was also Polynesian. My focus is that I don't want you to think because I'm Polynesian and I'm going to give them an okay and let them get away with it.
There's not a nepotism going on here.
You know, that I want to make it clear that, you know, no, everyone, I'm in a position to make sure that everyone is treated fairly. But I'm also going to try to convey to you that this is how I am as a person. It doesn't matter if you're blue, yellow, purple, you know, you're the same as everyone else to me. And whether or not I'm a manager or a supervisor or not, you talking to me and me me being in a position to help you, you need to understand that I genuinely mean what I'm saying.
Right.
So,
well, we're ambassadors to our own employees. I mean, that's what I look at.
Yeah.
We're ambassadors to help them, mm-hmm. and we want to make sure that everybody's treated fairly and equally. Yeah. And you do a great job at that, Paul, by all spectrums. So yeah. We appreciate that.
Paul, if there was one piece of solid advice that you could give somebody who is struggling working with the youth today, mm-hmm. like what would it be? What's one thing that they could do that would make that situation a little lighter for them?
One piece of advice to give to, I think just being more open-minded and being more open to changes, because and also being open to, you know, having conversations with them as if they were, you know, regular people that you come across every day, or even, you know, having conversations with them as if they were a friend that is the same age as you are, and just overall being open-minded, because there's so much that's new nowadays that some of the older generation hasn't really accepted as far as how the generation nowadays is acting. But as long as in the work environment, they understand that, I can't really put it into words, but when I have the meetings with them, or when I'm around them with everyone in the room, I have this saying that I tell them: once you're clocked in, everyone is the same age, the same, you know, everyone's the same.
All equal.
Yeah. But there's still there's still some expectations that you know how to respect a person. So my advice to the older generation that's working with now, with the generations now, is just to be, you know, continue to be kind to them, continue to motivate them to not fall into this stereotype that's been created for this generation, is that it's so hard.
Maybe learn from each other.
Yeah, learn from each other. And you know, that's what I mean by being open-minded, is to learn from them, and for them to know that they are able to learn from you as well.
And maybe if that's not your jam, that you put leadership in place to work with those team members.
Yeah.
Because there's some industries that is their that's their team, their skill set, or their trade. And so it's like, just be honest with yourself. If this is something that you can't seem to shift your mindset on, and you're constantly saying things like, oh, they just don't want to work, they don't want to do this, they don't want to do that, like, instead of staying there and getting that negative momentum, that you're really looking to this space of, who can I bring in who actually is looking for the positive?
Yes.
And ladies and gentlemen, there you had it. Some secret details from a millennial.
Our secret sauce.
Yeah.
Paul.
On how to work with generation now Y and Z, right?
Now Y and Z. It's crazy.
Yeah. So, everybody.
But, well, you know, just a finishing, you know, statement is that once you find, you know, common grounds with people that you come across all the time, I still am learning from everyone that come and go. But at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, treating each other kindly and being fair. And I'll still send out my warnings to people and as a heads up. But the biggest one is, for example, the airport is, you'd rather hear it from me than to hear it from Charlie. Oh. And that's not a bad thing. Yeah. But it's just, you know, there's a...
Is he using you for bad cop?
It seems like I am. I go over there and I try to be very, very positive, those guys in there. But it's so funny, is there's so many different ones there that I don't know them. So I feel like I play undercover boss when I'm going to fly out.
The stories that come, that would happen is always like the one you told me about, the guy that was like, well, who are you?
I try to make myself known to everybody, and I am always hello and how are you talking to everybody. But you know what? I probably need to get over there a little bit more and just say hello and bring some donuts or something, say hi. Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us.
Yes,
today, Paul.
Everything. Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We appreciate you so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
Episode 16.